In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among us. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. In the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. So I've just given you a thumbnail presentation of St. Ignatius. There's much more, but I've given you the highlights or the most salient points, I think, in his life. You can read his life at leisure, and that I would recommend also. This second conference is going to be dedicated to giving you some positive tips on how to pray well, how to do your prayer period. Then I'll give you some ideas on what is called principle and foundation. Our program is like a tripod. Tripod has three legs. If you pull one out, then obviously the tripod is going to collapse. Okay, the first leg of the tripod is the presentation that we give. First session is a little bit longer because we have to cover Ignatius and meditation and principle and foundation. The other presentation will be shorter. Okay, the second part of the tripod will be next week after the talk. We're about 70 here. You're going to be breaking up into groups of probably about 12, 10 to 12, and you'll have a facilitator who's going to help you to share for a couple minutes how God spoke to you in one of your meditations. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. So we're going to be dividing you into groups of about 10 to 12, and you're going to have a place where your facilitator is going to help you to just express to the group one of the meditations, how God spoke to you. And by means of that, you're going to be enriching the other 10, and they're going to be enriching you. So that's the second part of the tripod. Now the third part of the tripod, which is the most important, we might call it the very heart of the exercises, is your daily prayer period. And we call this the holy hour. Your holy hour. One of my favorite writers, preachers, priests, bishops, is a man, some of you have probably heard of him. Young people maybe not. Those who are older than me or my age have heard of Fulton Sheen, okay? Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Have any of you heard of him?
Yes.
Okay, Fulton Sheen was a great priest, a great bishop, probably the greatest communicator in the world last century. I'd say the world. John Paul II purposely studied his English so that he could speak a good English. But not only was he a great speaker, but he is already venerable, which means he's on the way to becoming beatified and then become a saint. Fulton Sheen called this hour of prayer the hour of power. The hour of power. Now in his more than 50 years as a priest, writer, radio evangelist, TV evangelist, head of the missionary society in the whole world, he never misses holy hour once in more than 50 years. Now, Fulton Sheen is probably more busy than we are. But he prioritized He prioritized, meaning that he placed God at the very center of his life. Now, I really believe in this. This is called a psychological principle, is this. We're not going to do anything that is of real value unless we are motivated. We're going to be motivated if we think that something is important. Right? None of us are going to be carrying out very worthy pursuits if we're not motivated. I have an older brother who is an orthopedic surgeon. Now, he's not going to go through 9 years, Dartmouth, Columbia, you know, pumping in maybe $250,000 if he did not believe that it was worth studying to become a back surgeon. Huge hours, many years, a lot of money. Because he really believed when he was 18 or 19, it was worth the effort. It was worth the effort. Look at any professional athlete or those who enter the Olympic Games. Those who are in the Olympic Games, they're preparing themselves 3 or 4 years even before the games start. Right? So what I'm saying right now is you have to be convinced that this holy hour is the heart of the exercises, and this is a matter of life and death for you as well as your family. Are you going to take it seriously or not?
Yes.
And I'm going to be honest with you, to do your holy hour, sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you'll be tempted to give up. But if it's done well, these are where the saints are forged and formed in the context of deep prayer. Teresa of Avila says you're going to learn how to pray only by praying. You got to do it. You got to do it. How do you learn speaking Spanish? Tiene que practicar español, huh? How do you learn how to throw a curveball? You got to practice. How do you learn how to cook? You got to burn the tacos, okay? How do you learn to bike? You got to fall off and you got to bruise your knee 10 times. How do you learn how to swim? You fill your nostrils with half the lake the first time, huh? Maybe not half the lake, but part of the lake, okay? How do you learn how to do the exercises? You got to do the exercises. So there are people here that have done the exercises. I've sent some of you maybe 5 years ago. Some of you maybe 2 years ago. It's great to have you back. Some of you are new. Others are veterans. But even though you've done your exercises, it's always going to be different. Don't expect the same thing. It's going to be different. They finish it in Spanish, they're doing it in English, okay? You're going to notice it's going to be different because the Holy Spirit blows where He wills. And He takes us where we're at. I'm not the same person I was last year. I'm different. You are too. And we hope that as time progresses that we're going to be growing in holiness. And this is going to be a real catalyst for help us to grow in holiness. Amen?
Amen.
So there's my pitch to do your holy hour. Okay? Okay. Now how are you going to do it? Okay, let's get down to brass tacks now. First is this. I strongly exhort you, if possible, to do your holy hour as early as possible. For many reasons. Okay, our model is Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, we read in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. That says it all. He got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. What do you think way before dawn would be? I think 3:30.
No? 3:30. Wow.
What do you think?
That's early. I'd say 4.
Well, dawn. It's not just before dawn. Way before dawn. That's not 6 o'clock. That's it. Okay, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Well, exactly. You're reading my mind. That means, not that you're a mind reader, but you have to get to bed earlier. You have to get to bed earlier. Okay. For me, I do mine at about 5:45. Yeah. I do about an hour and 15 minutes, close to an hour and a half.
So many hours.
Well, that's between me and my superior. Okay. I get enough rest.
Because you have to wake up early. So right. You have to count it.
You have to discipline yourself.
Yeah.
You have to discipline yourself. And one part of the exercises is to order the disordered. To order the disordered. We all have disorders in our life. Mm-hmm. There's an expression in Spanish, el perezoso trabaja doble. Okay? El perezoso trabaja doble, it's a dicho colombiano, okay? Which means, if you know Spanish, the lazy person actually works twice as much. Why? Because you don't do it well, you have to do it a second or third time. El perezoso trabaja doble. It's true. We end up by doing double or triple the work. Now, you have to arrive at a point where you don't see it as penance, or that you have to do it, but you do it because you love God.
Yeah.
You have to arrive at that. Now, I've been teaching, we have some professional teachers here. I've been teaching ever since I was 14. So I've been teaching for many years. Many years. As a priest before I was a professional teacher in Philadelphia, so I have a little bit of experience in teaching. You know? And I'll tell you this: I can teach you how to pray, Spanish or English. No, I can. I can teach you how to pray. I can, but I cannot give you the desire to pray. That I can't give you. I can teach you how to pray. In many ways. I can give you different methods, different forms, the Ignatian School, the Teresian form, John of the Cross. I can give you a lot of different formulas in how to pray. But I cannot give you the desire to pray. You've got to beg for that. You've got to beg for that. Is that clear?
Yes.
I think one of the greatest gifts in my life ever since I was a child, thanks to my good mom, and my father, who I hope is in heaven now, he died 5 months ago, is that ever since I was a child, I always liked to pray. And I've never met a child or a teenager that ever told me in my 30 years as a priest. I always liked to pray, which is a huge gift.
Yes.
Huge gift. I would walk to school when I was 15 in New Jersey, 2 miles, and I'd pray 2 rosaries on the way to school. Another 2 rosaries on the way back. So at 15 or 16, I'd pray 3 to 4 rosaries a day.
Wow.
That's probably why I'm a priest. It was something natural to me. If I'm walking, I talk to Mary. I talk to Blessed Mother. Now, where did that come from? I think it was a free gift from God. And having a good mom and dad, also I'm thankful for my parents. That helps out a lot. So I can teach you to pray, but I can't give you the desire. You got to beg for that. Beg the Holy Spirit for that gift. So that you don't get up in the morning and you're... Oh, Fulton Sheen has a one-liner. Well, basically he's saying we get up and we long for our prayer period. As a deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. He said, good morning, God. good God, it's morning. That's what he said. No, that was the one-liner. Okay. Good morning, God. Oh, good God, it's morning. No. So we don't want to enter into it in that fashion, but rather we want to recognize that we have this encounter with God. Now, one of the easiest ways for us to understand this is the following. How many people here are married? No, don't be ashamed, okay? Okay, did you go through a courtship? Spanish noviazgo?
Yes.
Of course. Yes. You know, you fell in love. You weren't forced to marry your wife. I mean, you chose it, right? So you went through a period of infatuation, and then you finally fell in love, okay? Now, think about that. When you're in that period, you really wanted to spend time with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well, you should pray that you're having a honeymoon with God. You hear me? You understand that. I mean, you married your spouse. You went through a period of courtship. So you want to have a deep, loving relationship with God. Because, you know, God is madly in love with you. But he wants you to love him back. God is madly in love with you. But he wants you to love him back. Don't break his heart. Don't break his heart. And if you read classical literature, Romeo and Juliet, and just the classical literature, it's basically about love. Pursuing love, love frustrated, love broken. I mean, God is a lover. He loves you beyond your wildest imagination, but he respects your free will. God is un caballero. He's not going to force himself upon you. He respects your freedom. You're not going to be able to fall in love with God if you don't spend time with him. Don't spend time with him, you're not going to really fall in love with him. You have to spend time with God. You have to. And only through prayer and begging Mary, you're going to arrive at a point where you cannot live without your prayer period. For example, Mary Martirana, Paul, our facilitators, you cannot live without your holy hour. Right? Some of your facilitators are going to be helping you out. Angie's done the exercise many times. Arrive at a point where you really can't live without that time with God. You long for it. You feel if you don't do it, almost as if you're suffocating. You'll understand what I mean. I hope one day. But I don't have my prayer period. I mean, it's just the day, simply, it doesn't work. I have to have that time with God. Right, Jim? I mean, you can't live without your holy hour. You've been with us about a year and a half, and you cannot live without spending that time with the Lord. You can't. So those are the facilitators have experienced this time with God. They cannot live without having that hour. And I arrive at the point where an hour is too short. I have to have more time. It takes time to warm up, you know. Play sports, you play a bit of sports like baseball, you got to warm up to it, right? Pull a muscle, you're out. We have to kind of warm up to God. So let's see. So we're convinced that we should try to do it early. If we don't do it early, we push it back, we're probably not going to do it, or we're going to do it poorly, okay? Either we're not going to do it, we'll do it poorly. St. Faustina says that in the diary. She noticed when she delayed the Holy Hour, she did it poorly or she didn't do it at all. Okay. Next is you have to have a place. Where are you going to pray? See, the ideal is to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but most of you can't do that. But maybe you can. I have an idea. We open up this church, St. Peter's, it's your home, at 4:45 every morning. Remember, way before dawn. Right? Way before dawn. Way before dawn.
4:45?
Yes. Hey, let me see if my math is good. Then we have a Mass at 6. Is that true? So we have a Mass at 6. You arrive at 4:45 to 6. How much time is that?
1 hour.
1 hour and 15 minutes. Perfect timing. Then you go to Mass to receive communion. Then you go to McDonald's, you get your coffee, huh? Fulton Sheen says, never start your holy hour without first having your cup of coffee. Fulton Sheen, okay? So you can have your cup of coffee before, okay?
Is the Mass half an hour or 4 hours?
The Mass is a half an hour.
Oh, because I got to get to work.
Okay. It's dangerous if I'm selling bread in the Mass. It might be a little bit longer. You know me, huh? No, it's a quicker Mass. Okay. So there you have it. So if you can't do it here, obviously it's going to be done at home. Find some place at home. Yes? 4:45 in the morning. And there's space for you. You're more than welcome. Come with your boyfriend, okay? Both of you can come. And you make your holy hour before Mass. And at 6 o'clock, there's the Mass. Perfect timing, huh?
Yes. That's a good way to start the day.
It is. It's a great day. Great way to start off the day. And you notice, when you do your holy hour, you start off your day, the day goes better at work, at home. Right, Jim? It's true. The day just goes much better when you start off with God, because you end up by doing your work with God. Otherwise, you're doing your work without God, and you flounder and you fall flat on your face. Start with God. Start with God. Okay, if you're going to do it at home, you have to have a place, you have to have silence. You can't have noise, you know, the radio going on, you know, your husband is snoring. Your pet parakeet Pete is singing a little diddle. No, you have to have silence. And it's good to create a spiritual milieu. Have a beautiful image of Mary. Have an image of the Sacred Heart. Have Divine Mercy. You might even, you know, light a couple of candles. Burn some incense. Not marijuana, but burn some incense, okay? So try to really create an environment that is propitious to pray well. This is called spiritual warm-up, okay? Okay, then after that, we give you the text you're going to meditate upon every day. So every day, we're going to be giving you 7 texts. You're not going to be just going there, I'm going to pray my rosary, my novena to St. Fulgentius of Ross Bay, and this prayer to St. Anthony, and this and that. No, we're going to be giving you a biblical passage with a commentary on it. Okay, biblical passage with a commentary on it. So, how do you warm up? Okay, you make the sign of the cross, you place yourself in the presence of God. Ignatius says, Imagina la mirada del Señor. Imagine the loving look of Christ. And then, you pray the Hail Mary. Ask Mary to help you. Always pray asking Mary's help and ask for Mary's intercession. And ask Mary to pray with you and for you. Then you pray the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Romans chapter 8, remember that? We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to pray. And then read. Ignatius gives what is called the three powers of the soul. That method. Three powers of the soul, which be memory, understanding, and your will. Memory, understanding, and will. Memory, the topic. Understanding, the message. Will, your heart-to-heart conversation with God. There you have it. Memory, the topic. Understanding, what is the message for me? The will is you enter into conversation with the Lord. That's called the three powers of the soul, the Ignatian method that he offers to us. So what are you going to be meditating tomorrow morning? We're going to give you principle and foundation every day this week, but we're going to be giving you biblical passages. You're going to be starting off with Exodus chapter 3, which is the vocation of Moses. Moses before the burning bush. So your name is Moses. Your name is Moises. Your name is Moisesa. Okay? You become Moses. And there in front of the burning bush, you hear a name being called, and maybe it isn't Moses, but it's going to be Angie. And it's going to be Joe. And it's going to be Mary. And it's going to be Paul. It's going to be Jim. Jim G. It's going to be you. You're going to be called. You're going to be Grace, okay? You're going to hear your own name. And what's going to happen, maybe, is you recognize that God has called you by name and God really loves you. God loves you. Then as you look at the burning bush, it's no longer a burning bush, but it's turned into this right here. What is this? It's a burning furnace of charity, which is the most sacred heart of Jesus. And he says, draw close. And all of a sudden, you experience two arms. It's the heart of Christ that embraces you. And you hear his heartbeat and the love that is beating in his heart. The first time in your life, you really recognize that God has embraced you and that God really loves you. And you stay with that. You get up and you're no longer the same person because you have had a mystical experience. The divine embrace of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which was the burning bush. And God was waiting for this for all eternity to be able to give you his embrace. You have experienced the love of God. Now that you can really start to love your family with a pure, true, and noble heart. We cannot change ourselves. Only God can change us. We cannot change ourselves. Only God can change us. So this is an example of a meditation you're going to be having tomorrow. A million things can happen. I've just given you one thing out of millions of divine touches that you might experience. But you just have to be open. Open to the divine embrace. Open to the fact that God loves you and he wants to enter into deep contact, deep friendship with you. How God longs for people that really love him. That's the purpose of the exercises. God longs for lovers. God longs for friends. You're called to be the friends of God. I hope on your tombstone it's written, this person was a friend of Jesus Christ. I hope. I hope they put that on my tombstone. He was a friend of Jesus Christ and Mary, as well as the angels and the saints. So the will or the heart, there are many affections that can flow from your heart. Can be gratitude, love, wonder, awe, supplication, repentance. All the gamut of the emotions in the human heart can be the object of your prayer. It's all the whole gamut of the emotional experience of the human person can be part of your prayer. And all your prayers are going to be different. That's the beauty of sharing, is that each one who shares is on holy ground. You're on holy ground. Because all of you are important. All of you are very important. Super important. I mean, you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. You're very important. Is that clear? So then after you finish, then you rewind what happened and you do your revision. Revision means you're going to be writing down how did God speak to you in that holy hour? You write it down. You say, I became Moses and I really recognized that God loved me. And I've been reading books on spirituality about the love of God for 53 years, and it was just head knowledge. Finally, I understand in a personal, experiential way that God really does love me. And I allow that divine embrace to happen, and I experience a certain peace and joy I never experienced in my life in that 1 hour. Ever since that time, I've had this interior longing to be more with God. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord, my God. That beautiful psalm. And you share that. And you're not showing off. You're expressing how God touched you. I think every Catholic in the world has to do the exercises. Every Catholic in the world, every Christian in the world should do the exercises. So that's called the revision. So you're going to have 7 revisions every week and choose the one that seemed to touch you most. Okay? 7 revisions, take 3 to 5 minutes. Write down, and it's best to do the revision right after you finish because it's fresh in your mind what happened in that holy hour. Okay? Okay, finally, we're going to be giving you what is called principle and foundation. And every day with your biblical passage, you're going to be reading through this consideration, which is about 100 words. Okay? And I'll break it down into these 3 basic ideas. We all have to know why we're here in this world. It's called a philosophy. You know, everybody has a philosophy, even though they don't know it. But if I say materialism, there are a lot of people who have as their philosophy materialism. What is that? Having a lot of things. Others would be that of consumerism, buying from the money that they have. Another one would be hedonism. It's Miller time, okay? Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. We'll have one life to live. They're all false philosophies. You're here for this reason. St. Ignatius, principle and foundation. Man and woman was created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save his soul. There you have it. It's not complicated. We're here in this world. We're here to praise God. We're here to reverence God. We're here to serve God. And by means of that, to save our soul. 2 words, praise God, get to heaven. get to heaven. You're here, my friends, for one reason. You are here to get to heaven. You have family members, sons or daughters, you want to get them to heaven. You want to get them to heaven. The best parents are the parents that love their children in the light of eternity, getting them to heaven. Those are the best parents. After you finish these exercises, your relationship with your children is going to change. It's going to be better. They may not think it's better, but it's going to be better. Because everything you do, how can I get my daughter to heaven? How can I do that? Maybe the best thing you have to do, you got to pray, you got to fast. You got to offer up sacrifices. You got to offer up masses. Maybe that's what God is going to ask you to do because your son or daughter is close to you. Then offer a mass. Go to communion 9 days in a row. Let the blood of Christ descend upon your son and daughter to soften his or her heart. It might not happen overnight. But now it's your goal to bring those children to heaven. Some of your grandchildren to heaven. Some of you already grandparents, right? Work on bringing them to heaven also. Is that clear? So once this is done, once principle and foundation is understood, your thought process, your decisions, and your actions are always in the light of how can I get closer to heaven and bring other people closer to heaven. That's your philosophy. Now isn't it a great philosophy?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Isn't it simple? Baltimore Catechism, some of you remember the Baltimore Catechism? Man is created to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life, so to be happy with Him in heaven. Remember that? I was born in the mid-50s. That was one of the first things they memorized back 55 years ago. We're here to know God, to love God, serve God in this life, so as to get to heaven. I've worked with catechism children for many years, and I say, Stama creata para conocere Dios, amar Dios, servir a Dios, y mediante eso salvar nuestra alma. Okay? We're here to know God, to love God, to serve God, and by means of that to get to heaven. It's almost the same. It's almost the same. So the second part of principle and foundation is, this is the case, we have to use everything that God has given to us to get to heaven. Use and not abuse. Got the difference? Use and not abuse. I repeat, use and not abuse. Everything that God created is good. But we can use it or abuse it. If you mention anything to me, I can tell you how I can use it and how you can abuse it. Anything. Now, eating is fine, right? But you go to the taco place and you eat 50 tacos. Or you go to McDonald's and you eat after this class, you eat 7.5 Big Macs with 3 milkshakes. I mean, you're going to, next time, next class, you're going to weigh 300 pounds. No? Nothing wrong with the tacos, nothing wrong with the hamburguesas, but you're eating too many. Anything can be used or abused. And one of the things that is abused most today, Father Benedict Rochelle says, many people have on their cross, not I-N-R-I, but S-E-X. Yep. S-E-X, the abuse of sex. How many problems have come because of the abuse of sex? How many STDs are out there today? Tons. How many people have abortions? Why? Abusing sexuality. There's nothing wrong with sex, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? We wouldn't be here. Nothing wrong with it, but it's easy to abuse it. You're going to see everything we have, everything created in the created world is good, but we can abuse it. That's our problem. So that's part of Principle Foundation, to look at your life and see how you're using some things, but there's some things you're abusing. You got to change. Got to change. Well, some of you might be this. Maybe you're not sleeping enough. You're always walking around with bags underneath your eyes. You're kind of, you know. And maybe you should okay, go to bed an hour and a half earlier. Get up to do your holy hour. And take a, you know, half an hour nap. I mean, we can abuse many, many things. Look at the three T's, the times, talents, and treasures, okay? Look at your time. Are you abusing time? Your talents, are you wasting your times, your talents? Your treasures, are you hoarding them or giving them to the poor? Okay, the last part of Principle and Foundation is called holy indifference. Now, holy indifference in American English is not what you think. You hear holy indifference, you think about apathy, or the younger generation says, whatever, okay? The whatever generation. Or Spanish que me importa, huh? It's not the whatever generation. Holy indifference is the exact opposite. Holy indifference is you want to discover what God's will is and to carry it out. Discover what God's will is, carry it out. As the poet Dante says, in your will is our peace. If we know God's will, we carry it out, we will have peace. I think we're all searching for peace of heart, right? It's only when we align our will with the will of God. Colby says that holiness depends upon small w connected with big W. Our will connected with the will of God. That's Colby, what Colby says. St. Maximilian Colby. Our will connected with God's will. Now here's the challenge of holy indifference. You're not going to arrive at holy indifference overnight. It's going to take a while. Ignatius says we should not prefer, we prefer what God wants, not to prefer a long life over a short life. You've heard that before, right?
Yes.
What? You're cringing, right? Okay. Not a long life. What, Angie?
I said, I know.
Okay, you know. Not to prefer a long life over a short life. Not to prefer health over sickness. Not to prefer, ready? Riches over poverty. Not to prefer honors over humiliations. But to prefer what is most conducive for the end for which I was created, which is the honor and glory of God and my salvation. Now, Angie has been with us for 9 years, right? You've heard it for 9 years?
Yes.
And every time you hear it, you cringe a little bit, right? But you know it's the truth.
Right.
So I repeat, not to prefer a long life over a short life. Health over sickness. Riches over poverty. Honors over humiliations. But to choose what is most conducive to the end for which we are created. Did any of you go to the confirmations we had in our parish last Saturday with our 200 young people? Okay, you went. Was it your daughter that was confirmed? Joe and Araceli, you didn't go? Okay. All right, well, we had confirmations. You probably remember what the bishop hit the nail on the head. Were you there, Mary? No, okay. Well, the bishop presented as a model Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio. Some Mexicans here, okay? Jose Sanchez del Rio died. This person I'm going to mention now is a model of holy indifference. He dies as a martyr in Mexico during the Cristeros movement. And he died. He was only 14 years old. Did any of you see the movie For the Greater Glory? How many of you saw the movie For the Greater Glory? Remember that? That's the best model of what I'm talking about. This boy was only 14 years old. He preferred to die rather than to deny Cristo Rey, right? Christ the King. So he didn't prefer a long life over a short life. He was only 14. Health over sickness? I mean, they cut him with machetes. Remember, they cut his feet. Remember that? Yeah, he preferred that. Honors over humiliation? They mocked him because he followed Christ. Riches over poverty? He died without anything. But where is he now?
Heaven.
He was the last saint, martyr saint, that Pope Francis canonized. The last martyr saint that this Pope was canonized was Saint Jose Luis Sancho de Rio. If any of you are from Michoacan, and he's from Michoacan, so why are you Michoacan? That's where he's buried. Some of the people in our parish are from Michoacan. He's your hero. He's your hero. Now, are all of us called to be martyrs? Probably not. Are all of us called to live at least a white martyrdom? Yes, we are, which means to deny ourselves and to go against our passions, to go against our bad tendencies. So this is holy, this is principle and foundation. While you're here, to get to heaven, the proper use of created goods, and finally, holy indifference. So, I am going to be praying for you people. Tomorrow I'm going to start a novena. I'm going to pray as a secondary intention in my masses for 9 days in a row. I'm going to be praying for you people that this will be the best month and the best experience in your lives. May God bless you. I'll pray for you and you pray for me.
Okay? Thank you, Father.
In the Father, Son.
Thank you.
Don't leave. We have paragraphs for you.
Okay.